Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Sunday. I hope everybody has a great day planned for this heat and humidity. I'd like to welcome you back to the show. My name is Ann Baldwin, and I'm so excited to have in studio with me today a dear friend, a longtime friend, Rob Rudowitz. Rob, welcome to the program.
Good morning. How is everybody going?
Everybody's probably doing pretty good and just kind of figuring out how to stay cool because this is a hot one, that's for sure.
Coming up.
And we've also got Navajo here. Navajo. I think either way
is correct. It's kind of like tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. And we're going to talk more about this beautiful German Shepherd that you brought with me. But let's talk about you and I. I mean, we go back years and years. I think I was still at Channel 30 and you were...
I was the PIO for the police department.
Yes, public information officer. So I was always sticking that microphone in your face. And, you know, that was how we first initially met. And we've stayed in touch all these years. I'm no longer doing what I did and you're no longer doing what you did. But we're also doing something really good today, too. And we should talk a little about what we have in common.
Absolutely. And I just want to say that I've always appreciated your... approach as a reporter and as a journalist, because you are always honest and ethical, and you always did what you said you were going to do. So that was always appreciated as a public information officer.
Well, thank you for that compliment, and I got to thank kind of my mentor, especially when I was out on the streets of Hartford and covering Hartford, someone who gave me a lot of great advice and kept me sane throughout the years, Downtown Lou Brown. Love him. And so he always called me Annie Big something. I won't fill in the blank because it's a family show. But I still to this day keep in touch with Lou as well. And he always just told me, you know, keep it straight, keep it right. Don't burn any bridges and, you know, do what you got to do.
Yep.
So that's what we did and that's what you did. So as a PIO, you were a good one too, Rob, I got to say. And there's nothing like a man in uniform.
Well, a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. All right. So now let's fast forward and let's talk a little bit about the other thing that you and I have in common. And probably what's brought our friendship even closer is that we're both in recovery.
No doubt.
And we talk a lot about that with each other. And, you know, it's been an interesting road, hasn't it?
It certainly has. And recovery and sobriety certainly has changed my life in ways that I never, ever imagined it would have. And I'm very grateful for the sobriety that I do have.
And, you know, the other thing is that people out there who might also be sober today and work in a program, it takes a lot of work. You know, I know, especially in the beginning, someone just said to me when I got sober about 11 years ago, you know, if you can just get through that first 30 days, if you can get rid of that, you know, that pink cloud or whatever they call it. And boy, it's true. It's really a struggle to get there and then to stay there. But once you get it and once you get your program down and get your head right, life is just so much better.
Yeah. And, you know, I have friends that say, and I love what they say because it's true. You know, I don't have a drinking problem today. I have a thinking problem. And, you know, I have to keep my thinking right. And I, you know, there's an old saying that you can't think your way into right living, but you can live your way into right thinking. And I kind of hold on to that because, you know, I can talk myself into a rabbit hole. I can talk myself into a real tizzy if I don't have the right people around me to kind of help me, you know, stay on the beam, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So
kind of like you've had to help me stay on the beam this morning. I'm having a crazy day today, man. You know, we just moved our offices and we're still in the midst of kind of a mess and, you know, but work must go on. And my daughter, my granddaughter are coming to visit, which is so wonderful, but there's just a lot going on. So, you know, you do need those people around you. Just put things in perspective. I mean, you know, worry about what you can control and don't worry about what you can't, right?
Absolutely.
It's kind of like the serenity prayer.
Absolutely.
So let's fast forward now a little bit. You just recently took a trip. And I've been reading, you're a hell of a writer, and I think you should think about writing a book because the things that you write on social media, just, you can't stop. It's just, I'm just enthralled with your stories and the emotion and the passion and whatever the story is about that comes with that. So tell our listeners a little bit about how you decided to go on this 30-day cross-country trip. And then we'll get to some of the details of that.
Okay. First, before I get to that, I do have to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, writing really is a gift of my sobriety because without the sobriety, I would not have the creativity that I need to put my thoughts and feelings, you know, pen to paper, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for that. But I do need to back up about this trip. In September of 2019, I was involved in a motorcycle accident. And I was coming back from a friend's house from up in Suffield. And coming down 91, I was doing probably, I don't know, 65 miles an hour. You know, I had no helmet on. Luckily, things worked out. But, you know, I went down on the highway. I was in the hospital for about a week. I had 7 broken ribs, broken collarbone, a lot of road rash. And as a result of that accident, they discovered that I had pancreatic cancer. So I look at that and literally the motorcycle accident saved my life.
Right.
Because the cancer was discovered at a time where they were able to surgically remove it from the pancreas, but it did metastasize to my liver. So I am in ongoing treatment for the metastasized cancer. Everything is really going really well. The treatments that I'm under, I'm on 2-week cycles of chemo, is just astounding. I have never felt better. The chemo is doing its job. Nothing is growing. Things are shrinking. And so I'm very grateful for modern medicine and a lot of prayer because I know that that's what keeping me healthy.
Absolutely. And so many people on social media have been rooting for you since the beginning. from the accident. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And then when you were first diagnosed and all the prayers and the support that you're getting, you know, a mutual friend of ours who I see comment all the time on everything almost that you put up there is Bernie Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
Bernie was a great
greatest man that Hartford Police Department has ever seen.
Absolutely. So you've had just one hell of a ride, literally. I mean, but you talk about the blessing and the problem. You got in the accident, and then they diagnosed you with this cancer. So mm-hmm. had you not gotten in the accident, it could have progressed. Who knows? But if that really was a blessing. Like, I've heard stories about, you know, a kid, baseball mm-hmm. player getting hit in the head with a ball, and they go in and they find something else. You know, so those kinds of things happen. So it's good to hear. So you've been dealing with this cancer now, and you're still doing the chemo treatments. Mm-hmm. How long has it been?
It will be 2 years next month.
And how much longer do you have to keep doing it?
Until the doctors say I don't.
Okay.
And I am just following doctor's orders. And when I go in for my monthly treatment, they say, just keep doing what you're doing because things are looking good. And every 3 months I get a scan, and the last scan that I had. So I had a scan in March of 2020, and it showed a progression. It showed that there were innumerable tumors in the liver. Even though it was removed from the pancreas, and that it had continued to spread. When I got the scan, my last scan the beginning of July, it said that they cannot see tumors in the liver at this point.
Wow.
And I was just blown away. And it just said there are no visible, I don't know what the correct right. terminology is.
But it's working. Like you said,
but it's working.
Going in the right direction. I got to tell our listeners, again, if you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Rob Rudowitz, and you look great. You really do.
Thank you.
I mean, you look healthy. You look happy. You know, you haven't lost all your hair. You just spilt your water all over the place, but that's okay.
Actually, Navajo did.
That's all right. Okay, so now let's get to the road trip. I don't want to run out of time before we get into all the details.
So the reason I wanted to back up is because it was really the beginning of this journey that I'm on now. And my whole perspective on life changed, and, you know, as, you know, something like that would. And I just found myself finding silver linings everywhere I looked. In other words, you know, I might have this cloud of cancer, but yet I find all these silver linings. Like, I didn't realize how loved I am until I created that Facebook page for support and mm-hmm. prayer. And, you know, it was overwhelming, you know, and that's a gift. That's another gift of, you know, what I've experienced. But about a year ago, I had stopped in, the Wooden Tap in Rocky Hill, to grab a quick bite to eat. It was in the evening, mid evening. And I ran into an old friend. I hadn't seen her in probably a couple years. No, I hadn't seen her in a few months. I'm sorry. But before that, we hadn't seen each other for literally a couple years because, you know, she was married. I was in a relationship. And we started talking. She had just gone through a double mastectomy for breast cancer. So we were, you know, we were kind of sharing our stories a little bit. Found out that she was, you know, going through a divorce, and I was no longer in a relationship, and sparks flew. We had this long, innocent, pure friendship for 13 or 14 years, and in that moment, it just changed.
Wow.
And, it was pretty profound for us. But you know, we reconnected, and last September. We went to the Grand Canyon, and we took a ride to the, we flew out there, spent some time in the Grand Canyon. And as a result of that trip, we were just kind of joking around and said, hey, you know, I've always wanted to drive cross country. Well, me too. All right, let's do it. You know, kind of jokingly. She was a small business owner. I'm retired. She was a small business owner. Unfortunately, the pandemic literally kind of wiped her out. And so she literally closed her business not long before we left for this trip. So we looked at it. We said, okay, we've got this time on our hands. Let's take advantage of the opportunity we have because it may never come again.
Exactly.
And so we loaded up her truck. She's got a SUV, and we headed out, head west, young man. And it was pretty amazing to see the country with this new pair of glasses on, mm-hmm. you know, with these new lenses that I have. And our country is the most beautiful place I have ever experienced. And I've been, you know, I've been to Europe and you know, other places. And our country is just amazing. And that will bring us to Navajo.
All right. So, but I saw the adventures. Some of the places that you stopped were amazing. And you did it on a pretty tight budget, right? You stayed in tents, you stayed in campgrounds. I mean, it wasn't a luxurious trip where you stayed in 5-star hotels.
We camped. Yep.
You camped.
We camped.
Which I love camping.
I love camping, but I, the, you,
I know.
We're getting a camper. I'm not going to do the tent thing anymore.
No, I know.
It was great. The novelty wore off after 2 weeks. And,
right.
You know, but we continued.
Right. So talk about the time when you were rafting, I believe, right? Or were you canoeing? And, and this is where Navajo comes in.
Well,
listen to this.
Yeah. So, we were at the last minute, we actually changed our plans. We had, we were all set up to stay in Bryce Canyon, and literally, I don't know, probably 2 weeks before we left, we said, you know what, we've already been, and we were going to go to Sedona, which we had already been. And we said, you know, we've already been to Sedona. Why don't we switch it up? So we switched it up at the last minute. We ended up camping in Page, Arizona, because we wanted to go to Antelope Canyon, which is a beautiful, Lake Powell is there, and just mm-hmm. the rock structures. And it's in the middle of the desert in Navajo country. And it's just, it was phenomenal. We took off for the day, and we were just kind of exploring the area. We're driving along, and all of a sudden, I quickly looked to the left, and I saw what I thought were two coyotes. And I was like, I got to get a picture. So I turned the truck around, and I pull off to the side of the road, and one of the animals now runs off into the desert. The other one came towards us, and that's when I realized it was a dog, and his tail was wagging, and, you know, it was in the middle of the desert, and I think that day it was about 103 degrees, somewhere up there, and so I couldn't help but get out of the car. I set up a little bowl of water for him. He wouldn't drink it, but what he did do was jumped in the truck, because I left it, you know, I just get out. Put the water down. We had a water jug, put the water down. He jumped in the truck and just sat in front of the air conditioner. And I'm like, I look at Carrie and I said, he's not going to get out of this car. And I can't leave him here in the middle of the desert. So we drove along the road, and there happened to be a Navajo reservation security vehicle that approached us. And so we stopped, and we said, listen, we just found this dog here in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, I don't want to leave him. And he said, well, you know, he said, unfortunately, he's probably a reservation dog, and they just wander and look for food where they can. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, then nobody's really caring for him. He said, my suggestion would be to take him into Page, bring him to the vet, and they will find a place in the animal shelter for him. So that's what we did. Went to the vet in Page, Arizona. They scanned him for a microchip. There was nothing. We called animal control, got a message. And the vet said, you know what? It's probably a reservation dog, and he looks like he would really like Connecticut. Oh. Yeah.
That's what the vet said.
That's what the vet said. He said.
Hint, hint.
She said, you know, we get probably two of these a week where tourists find dogs in the desert and bring them to us. Mm-hmm. That's why our shelters are full.
Wow. You know? And it's a beautiful, he's a beautiful German Shepherd.
He's beautiful. We determined he was about a year, year and a half old.
Yeah.
So we held on to him. You know, we took him for the remainder of the trip. When we got to Colorado, we brought him to a vet there, and we got him shots, and we got him vaccinated, and gave him, you know, the good thorough once over, and he's a healthy dog, and he's a smart German Shepherd.
So there was no pushback from Carrie. She was on the same page?
No, Carrie was the one that talked me into it.
To keeping the dog.
She gave me the puppy eye look and said,
That's all it takes.
Can we keep him? And, you know, and I hemmed and hawed, and I was trying to be the voice of reason, but I'm looking at her and I'm looking at the dog and I lost.
I know, but you know, especially in recovery, everything happens for a reason.
Everything.
You know, what a blessing to have. You thought it was a coyote. Here it's a dog. It jumps in your car. And, you know, I got to tell you, Rob brought the dog Navajo into the studio today, and he's just absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. Pretty well behaved.
He's a puppy.
Yeah,
you know, he's
right.
A year, year and a half old. So yeah. He's a little rambunctious,
yeah.
but he's trainable. He's doing well. So the second day that we held on to him, because my plan was this, we had left a message with the animal control and said, this was on July 22nd, which was a Thursday. So we were going to keep him Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we were leaving for Utah. So we left that message. We said, we're going to leave, please call us back. We never received a call back. So the next day, that Friday, we were going kayaking on Lake Powell, which is, you know, part of it is there's a kind of waterway that goes into what they call the slot canyons, mm-hmm. and you kayak through the slot canyon. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that day, so we brought him.
So it's you, Carrie, Navajo in this kayak?
In the kayak.
Okay.
A three-person kayak.
Right.
Put him in the middle. I'm in the back. Carrie's in the front. And we were just gliding along the water, and he was digging it. He was just laying there. He was just taking in the sights, and he was just enjoying it as much as we were. Well, when we got into the main sort of waterway that was leading us to the Slot Canyon, a bunch of speedboats came by, and they created
a lot of wake,
and it capsized us.
Oh my God!
And luckily, what I had done when we launched our kayak, I launched it right behind a tour that was going out, because I'm thinking, you know what? Let's see where they lead us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's, you know, you're better off in numbers.
Sure.
You know, so we were kind of right behind them. So when we capsized, they saw the distress because we had life vests on. I had the dog in a harness. But I'm holding him up, and he's 75 pounds.
That's dry.
So, and that's dry. And so I'm holding him up out of the water, and I will never forget the look in his eyes when he looked at me as if he was in a panic and he thought he was going to drown because the kayak was capsized. I'm trying to hold the kayak. Carrie's holding the kayak. I'm holding the dog. There's this wake. Rough wake that's, you know, kind of stirring us about. So for a brief moment, I thought the water was going to win and I was going to have to let go of the dog. But I didn't. He scratched up my face because he was just in a panic.
Yeah.
He was panicked, looking for some stability.
Right.
So luckily a boat came along. We were able to, you know, get him on the boat, get us all, you know, All was safe and sound, but it was an interesting experience because from that moment on, the dog would not leave my side. He just wouldn't leave me, and it was it's been pretty amazing to have this dog and know sort of the backstory, to be a part of that backstory of the dog.
Right, and how appropriate that you named him Navajo.
Well, it, you know, that kind of came about because, you know, we were like, hey, dog, hey, and I'm like, well, we're in Navajo country. Hey, Navajo, come here. You know, we had to call him something.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's a great name. And yeah. What a story. And I, you know, I saw the pictures again on social media and you were in pretty bad shape. I mean, yeah. Your face was pretty scraped up and you had written about the fact that you didn't really even realize
right. How
bad it was until you got out. You don't realize what's happening to you because you were focused on saving the dog and saving Carrie and getting out of the situation, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, Carrie was good. I knew she was good. It was really a matter of, kind of keeping myself calm and holding the dog above water, because that was my primary concern. And I literally didn't even feel, him, you know, clawing at me. And actually our first order of business was to get him a pedicure when we got
that's
home.
That's right. Cut those damn nails, right? Well, I bet he loved it.
Yeah.
Well, what an adventure. Are you glad you did it?
We knew it was going to be on some level, a spiritual journey. We both knew it. We just didn't know to what extent, our love grew, we learned so much about each other, even through years of a deep friendship, we're at a whole different level in our relationship. And, you spend 24/7, 30 days on the road, in a car, in a tent, you're going to have your moments.
Yep.
But, we're both good communicators and, we are both... able to kind of, take a step back and go, I'm sorry, I'm sorry I reacted that way. And I can only give credit to the recovery because that's where I'm learning that.
Yes.
That's where I'm learning that, those abilities.
Absolutely. Know? It's so important. And one of my favorites is talking to somebody without blame or judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. There's so many great tools.
I'm still learning that one.
You're still learning that one. Well, we're a work in progress. I think it's safe to say that. But there's so many great tools that come with the program. My daughter's gone to a couple of meetings with me and she says, everybody should go to these meetings because
absolutely.
She leaves there so inspired. And, they say, take what you want and leave the rest, right? Yeah. That's what they do. Well, Rob Rudowitz and Navajo, it's just been so great to meet him. I'm so grateful that you brought him in today. And I love your story. Yeah. Well, on behalf of myself, Ann Baldwin and Rob Rudowitz, we want to thank you so much for tuning in today to this edition of the program right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How I Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radnor, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How I Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.